Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Get Out of the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the boy, Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C-Man.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Paul.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Reddy Rand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is the show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing that each and every rapper that's coming up getting put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow up Windows.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering graphics, and download the song. Check out the archive and hundreds of shows. Plenty of content for you to get through. Everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we preserve the real for you.
Let's talk about what we be, we bought our beats, we represent. All them killers on the mic and we show love to all you fans.
I'm a man-made, going crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life, dog. Hip-hop ain't dead, representing for them legends. Rapping mumble rappers, all me sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, streaming, thank you for the bliss. It's the Murder Master Music Show. Free the homie gangsta, bro. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my chop about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Keep it like a rapper, bitch, we coming hella strong. I see you feeding for the show like it's a drug. Let's get it.
Hi, Lord Fires.
What's going on?
How are you? It's Cynic from Hip Hop Corner, Gorilla Magazine, Radio Booster. Yeah, tell us about how it was to live in New York in the 70s, in the 80s, where you grew up in New York City.
I mean, it was just a different time and era as far as the 70s and the 80s. Real more cultural, more tight-knit, you know, family-wise.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember the first song you ever heard in your life of hip-hop?
I think the first song I ever heard was probably Rapper's Delight. Mm-hmm. You know, Rapper's Delight was the first song.
Yeah, you grew up on Fuse 5, Funky 4, yeah. All that.
Yeah, but that was after the fact. That was like after Rapper's Delight. Then I heard Furious Five and all the hip hop joints.
He was also part of the Rhyme Syndicate with Ice-T. I remember on MTV Raps, MTV, you were the Syndicate where in 91.
Right. I was down with the Syndicate during that early 90s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It kind of dissolved, and you know, don't ask me why, but. We went on one tour together and that was kind of it, you know?
Yeah. You were with Big L and all that at this time also?
Not on that tour, no.
No?
No. Mm-hmm. On a Syndicate tour, it was me, I.C., Donald D.,
mm-hmm.
Hijack.
Yeah, Hijack.
Hijack, Nasdaq, you know, Aladdin. You know, it was all those groups. Big L wasn't in the picture yet.
And tell us about your battle with Percy P in 89.
Well, the battle with Percy P took place just before the day before the seminar battle Percy P. And that was a battle that was set up, one of the battles for the ages at that day and time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also about your first album, The Funky Technician, 1990. Tell us about
Funky Technician was basically
it was DJ Premier.
Yeah, that was DJ Premier.
Produced
that was
a lot.
Diamond.
Sorry. Yeah.
That was Show from Show and AG.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the time that they got together during Funky Technician. So it was a good time. And then after that, you know, it was Giant Records and then Penalty after that.
Yeah, did your premiere give you the inspiration for after make production?
Not really. Premiere was a part of it, but
mm-hmm.
Show and Large Professor was the ones that inspired me to produce. And then, you know, I picked up pointers from what I watched Premiere do and, you know, other producers around me do.
Yeah, what's happened with Mike Smooth? You say one time he was in a regular job. He don't be into hip hop now nowadays.
No, I spoke to Mike Smooth before I left to come out here to Europe. Nah, Mike Smooth is good, man. Mike Smooth has always been good job-wise, you know. He has stability. I had to take this hip-hop thing to the fullest, full-time.
But he was more on walks than hip-hop. On walk, like more into walk than to hip-hop style.
No, I don't think that was the key. I just think when you know, hip-hop, at a certain point, when it slowed down for me after Funky Technician, the transition from Funky Technician to Return of the Funky Man, like I said, he had a real job. He had something real stable. And he has the same job to this day. Yeah. Mike is up there, you know?
Yeah. You said also one time, it was when you were in clubs when you had 13 years old, when you see Kool G and all them, and it gave you the idea to be a rapper. You say in your mind, I want to be a rapper. When you see Kool G and all them, Buzzy B.
When I seen it, ain't had nothing to do with Kool G. When I seen Busy B, and you know, it was more of a culture with the jams, street jams, and how it translated in the clubs. Like I said, I wanted to be a DJ first, and then you know, I grew into being an MC.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how it went.
And the original the Funky Man in '92. Tell us about this album.
Well, Return of Funky Man was me translating and transitioning from Funky Technician into Return of the Funky Man. This was a job that, executive production job that was put on my hand.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as far as Funky Technician, I had premiere there every session. I had a backbone with Return of the Funky Man. It was more like, you know, we're going to give you this budget. Come with this album. It wasn't really no backbone there, but really me putting all this together. Mm. You know, hiring the producers.
You started also to produce, like Hey Luca Schultz and all that.
Yeah, that started somewhat, you know. I think when it came to You Know What I'm About, that mainly, that was my real introduction to production.
So you'll be famous with Biggie when you did Suicide Talks, also as production. Tell us about what's Biggie.
Biggie was real charismatic, you know. Biggie was Biggie. Biggie, I never met an artist at the time that was like anything like Biggie. You know, nothing at the time. From the way he carried himself, the way he came in, he made it look like one big party, but he always put in a share of work and got the song done. So to have a party and knock out an incredible song was always crazy.
In Incredible Songs, I think about the Awakening, '95. For me, it's the album, when you listen to it, we think we are in the soul jazz, hip-hop jazz. We see all that stuff you listening back in the days with Quincy Jones and all that. We can feel it when you listen to Outlawed or when you listen to Game Plan. It's like we like under the sea, like in the submarine. You know the type of music? Like you'll be a real smooth separation.
At that time of using jazz, we just could take jazz and formulate it into anything, whether it was dark, whether it was jazzy, whether it was soulful, you know, it didn't matter. We took the bass lines, we filtered the bass lines down and constructed and composed on top of the bass line. So whatever the bass line did is what we followed with the sounds and the horn play.
Yeah, and also you have a lot of interludes, nowadays in hip hop albums you don't have interludes like you have back in the days, you know.
Well, hip hop albums back in those days was a project.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's still a project. Interludes was what connected the songs, what made the whole album come together,
exactly.
What kind of gave you a heads up to the vibe you was gonna go into on the next song. So interludes was very important. I would still do interludes to this day, even though other people don't do them, but I would do them. That's what made the album dope.
Back in the days, and you always keep that style, that keep in mind that it's to have substance into music, to have you can talk, you can sing to your music, you know.
Well,
nowadays, a lot of hip hop, you don't think about it. You don't. It's
I
a
think
lot of thinking.
What you're doing as a project is a feel. I don't think I wouldn't say I'm gonna stay doing that type of stuff because then I'm not growing. If we had Michael Jackson and all you wanted to hear from him was ABCs, you would have never heard Off the Wall. You would have never heard Thriller. So I think as fans and I think of purists that analyze artists, you got to give artists room to grow, to innovate and come with a sound that might be the next thing. But if you keep telling somebody you want a certain style or a certain thing, then you kind of pigeonholing that artist.
Okay. And also, you worked with Dr. Dre, The Message.
Right.
Okay. How it was to work with him? We know he's very meticulous man when he do music. How it was to work with him?
I mean, to work with Dre, man, it's more like an educational course because you're working with him, but at the same time, he's the master chef. So if you're looking to become a chef, you got one of the top chefs in the world that you could study from. So it was like me really learning and absorbing a lot of things that he was doing. And you know, he just happened to like a track that I was using for my album, and that's how that came about. But that track was well produced. Everything you hear on that track was me. So, you know, the strength. So everything that's there, we brought to him as such. You know?
Yeah. And what kind of equipment you love the most? It's the SP-12 or Ableton?
It's the 1200, the SP-1200.
Yeah.
It was simplistic, it was just something you could jump on at any given time and come up with something funky. It's like nothing that has that swing, the algorithm.
Yeah, the swing with those SP-12.
Yeah, it was a swing. Most people keep thinking it's the sound, or the grungy sound. That's a part of it, but I didn't really get the SP-1200 for the sound. It was more the swing and how it had the drum swinging when I was programming.
Yeah, and also you dropped the album, SP-12. Also,
right.
you got tracks like Gothic Town, some Cinematic Soul and all that. You can feel it. It's the only instrumental album. So after Awakening, you start to only focus on production only.
Well, production has always been a great thing with me, because it's like when it comes to being an artist, sometimes I want to be an artist that perform and do certain things. And for a nice part of me, I'm a loner. I'm a person that's isolated from everything. So a lot of times I isolate myself around music. So it's easy for me to get in and produce music more than run around being an artist. Being an artist, you gotta really be out there in the industry. You gotta poly, you gotta network. A lot of times I don't really wanna be around none of that. I love being around music.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to be an artist, that's something that I have to really brace for and really get prepared to do that. Because to be an artist, you gotta roll up your sleeves and go out there and get it. That's why I think a lot of artists today don't go as far as they need to go, is because they don't push themselves. You're only gonna go as far as you push yourself out there. Most people think you have the internet, and that's a great platform. But you have to use more of that. You have to use a lot of more other things than just that platform. And people get, well, it's up on SoundCloud, I got it on MixCloud, I got it on YouTube, but it's like having a store and not advertising. You know, you could have a store on the block, but you think people just gonna walk all in from around the world and go in your store and buy something? No, you have to do something to draw them people to your store so they can get you know, get acquainted to your music. It's the same thing with being an artist. You could be an artist, an incredible artist, but if you're not out there promoting yourself and doing what you got to do to draw them to you as an artist, you just basically throwing music out for free, for no reason.
Also, the hip-hop game changed a lot. Changed a lot than before. It was more the love for hip-hop culture before. Nowadays, it's different with the mumble rap and all that.
It goes both ways. It's an easy way to look at it, and it's a way where people think it's so easy that they make it hard. You know, easy because it's easy to find a lane that nobody else is in and do something original. But people choose to see what's out there and copy what's out there. Once you copy what's out there, that's telling you you're happy with being number two. I've never looked at being number two. I looked at whatever I've done being original. So it's not hard in that aspect to find your lane and to really run with something that's different for you. You know, like I said, people make it hard because they want to do what everybody else is doing. They want to ride that wave. And if 100 people are selling hamburgers, what makes your hamburger different from the 99 hamburgers that's out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're well known for the hip-hop, jazz, hip-hop, East Coast stuff. And you like also Dre stuff. And do you feel a producer like Mike Dean who produces South and Gambo Funk, you know, this feel of jazz, hip-hop, but more in the Southern way. Do you feel this producer?
You said Mike Dean?
Mike Dean, yes. He was working for Rob Lord and all this Houston stuff.
I'm not really familiar with all his work, you know, so...
He worked with John Biddle and John Biddle or Ghetto Boys and all that.
Not really familiar with his work. Something I have to analyze and take in and answer that question at another time, you know?
And also, can you tell us about your projects for your future projects and all that? Will you do a DITC new album?
Yeah, we've done that already with DITC Sessions, mm-hmm. which was composed behind and produced behind the making of the studio. That's why it's called Sessions. As far as my projects, you know, I have a couple of ideas. I want to do a documentary. I got so many different ideas, but I'm just taking on one at a time. So what's next up is something new from Lord Finesse. Music, lyrics, you know, a project from Lord Finesse. That's what I'm most focused on right now at this juncture.
And with Padro, what happened? He be always in the ITC or not really focused on his career?
Fat Joe is an entity all his own, you know. That dude's all over the place, so I can't really speak for him. I can say he's busy, he keeps himself busy, all the way up, just put him into a whole nother stratosphere.
Mm. Yeah. And tell us about Big L, rest in peace, how he was, and his talents, and all that.
Well, Big L, I knew Big L was going to be something special from the gate. You know, just how advanced he was. So to watch it unfold in front of my eyes, he actually surprised me because I knew what his potential was, but he really exceeded my potential, you know, my expectations of where I thought he was going to go.
What was your dream to collaborate with some rappers you never did?
Huh?
A dream to collaborate with some rappers you never did, or it never happened?
Well, it's a few artists out there, and I get around to them, you know. I think I mentioned in one of the interviews, I love to work with Nas. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a few artists on my radar that I would love to work with that. You'll see.
Did you have the feel to work one time with Scarface?
Scarface is a mastermind.
Yeah.
You know? Scarface, man, who wouldn't want to work with Scarface?
Yeah.
You know, he's a genius. Truly.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's from the South or Houston or Texas or where. All that's out the window when it comes to certain genius artists, and he's one of them.
He said one day in an interview, and I know you read it, he said the hip-hop and traditionally fall because there are no substance, no lyrics nowadays.
That has a great part to do with why hip-hop ain't moving forward. Everybody can't have the same story. Somebody got to have a different story. And it should be some type of substance to help children to move forward. It can't all be I'm lit. It can't all be about drugs. It can't all be about one thing. I just think we need some diversity. I'm not saying that everybody needs to change, but you just got some people that really don't belong.
Also, you said one day that the hip hop nowadays is very influenced by drugs and a lot by cocaine and all that, and it's create a different sound, and cause you not into that, you not feel it really, it's type of sound, you know?
Well, hip-hop is just, I don't know, we did more with less. So now you looking around and you're seeing dudes do much less with a whole lot more, and it's not really panning out.
But your type of sound is more focused on of mind, of soul, of deeper inspiration about all that.
Well, to me, it's sound. I mean, music is a feel, period. I gotta feel it. If I can't feel it, I can't get into it, period. Gotta have some type of feel with it.
Also, can you say your music inspiration into jazz and hip hop, and you have 10,000 opinions, so a lot. I know you have Quincy Jones, you love a lot, and some others, Rob Ayers, I spell you a lot. Can you say?
Those are geniuses, man. Yeah. Watch them evolve through decades. These dudes ain't evolved through months. You know, a person like Quincy Jones been working for decades. You know, Roy Ayers been working for decades. I mean, Quincy is like one of the greatest inspirations because there's no age limit. You know, we'll try to put age limits on things. Quincy produced Thriller at 50. So to produce such a masterpiece at 50, that should give you all the motivation and inspiration to keep going, doing what you're doing. Don't let nobody put no age limit on music, period.
I know you love also Miles Davis, Power of Zeus, David Axelrod also.
David Axelrod.
Yeah.
Power of Zeus is just a set of drums, you know. David Axelrod had a full body of work. David Axelrod was a genius, you know.
Yeah.
God bless, rest in peace.
Yeah. So Johnny Gitar Watson. Also, I know you like it a lot. The lesson music.
Listen. Yeah, that album
was
incredible.
Yeah. Also, your three favorite rappers you know?
Three favorite rappers? More than three. I wouldn't even be honest saying three.
Or five.
My list is like, because I love different rappers for different things, you know? So, you know, I have to start with the foundations, you know, when you think of Rakim, you think of Kane, Rakim, Kane, G-Rap, KRS-One, LL Cool J. So without those fives, you don't get the Nas's, you don't get the Jay-Z's, you don't even get no more of them artists that you're about to say without that foundation. Another artist that slept upon, I would say, is Ice Cube.
I know you feel his album, I mean, because Los Montes is a real album.
Huh?
A real album for interludes and all that concept, I mean, album.
A full album, when now if you're talking about albums, so you're talking about favorite MCs, now you're going to artists, that's like two different things.
Yeah.
Some of your favorite MCs didn't do the greatest albums, greater than people that wasn't as lyrical as they were. Like, some of the greatest albums was by, like, Tribe Called Quest.
Electric Conversation.
Yeah, when you put interludes and all that together, you know, now you're talking about Breaking Atoms with Large Professor. Now you're talking about Mecca and the Soul Brother. Now you're talking about Runaway Slaves. Now you're talking about Stunts, Blunts, and Hip Hop. Now you're talking about Gangsta. So you can't put the greatest MCs and the greatest albums. You might get one or two of those albums, but some of the greatest albums wasn't done by the super lyrical people that I said, you know?
In the past, we see that all the rappers, all the hip-hop MCs have to distinct themselves from each other. Now it seems like all are clones of same music, of same non-lyrical.
Well, like I said, it's just people feel comfortable with copying the next person. That's their thing, you know. But like I said, I don't get into that, because once you want to copy somebody, you're happy with being number two. I'm always thinking about what's going to be different, what's going to be innovative from what's already out. I'm thinking, what can I add? When you think in that format, what you can add, then you have a chance of your project becoming a legacy type project, a classic, because you added something to that decade or that generation. But if you copying what somebody else is doing, I don't see copycat classic out.
Cool. Have your last message to say to young people to start into hip hop?
I mean, hip hop, once again, is a way of life for me, you know, and I think it's a way of life for listeners that choose artists. You choose an artist for a certain thing that attaches to what you do growing up, you know, so. When I'm being listened to, maybe it's something that I'm saying that younger generation can relate to. And when I do a new album, you know, doing an album, you have to do music that's going to talk to people. If your music don't talk to people, you're not going to be here long.
Okay. Great. Well, thanks for the interview, a lot of thanks.
Huh?
Well, thanks for the interview.
Oh, you're welcome.
Can we